It sparkles. We thank you. We thank you for letting us be here together. For every person who's here. For those that have been here. We thank you for those who are going to have to leave us today. And we know you'll go before them, preparing the way. We thank you, Jesus, that we as children of God never have to say goodbye for the last time, but we'll be together throughout eternity. Hallelujah. But we thank you, this camp is not over yet. Glory to God, that you are at work here in our midst, and you've got great things for us today, even in this hour. And you're going to speak through me and bring forth things that give life and glorify you and bless everybody. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His kingdom is established forever. Not a question, will he win? He's already won. You need never worry about that. The kingdom of God is not up for popular vote. It's not established through popular vote. It is already decided. And when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, the Father's plan for man was made perfect. And in the ascension of Jesus, Father welcomed humanity into a oneness with himself, and that glorious achievement of resurrected humanity being perfectly wedded to God on the level of the throne of the universe is the realm for which the Holy Spirit comes. The gift of the Holy Spirit does not come from Mount Sinai. The gift of the Holy Spirit does not come from Mount Zion. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes from the throne of the universe in terms of resurrected humanity. And Jesus pours out of his Spirit upon all flesh that we might be partakers together of that which he has achieved concerning us and learn to receive from him that which we need to perfect us in him, but also to become one with him, laborers together with God in manifesting this glorious kingdom. See, God has purposed from the foundation of the world that he would rule and reign in and as and through his children. This is God's plan. A sacrament is defined, I think this is good Catholic theology. A sacrament, you check me, Craig, Greg's out there loading. A sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. I think that's pretty well accepted through the church. A sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Now, if you heard that definition, a sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Hold on to your seats. You are a sacramental expression of God. You are the outward and visible expression of his spiritual and indwelling presence. He comes into this universe through your life. And he indwells you in such a way that coming to live within you, he doesn't draw a line and say, over here is me and over here is you. And I'm going to tell you right now, from now on, it's going to be more of me and less of you. Yeah. And if you just get yourself out of my way, I'll take over and I'll be God. No, that's the way we'd do it if we were God. But you say, we're not God. He is. And he loves in such a selfless way that when he comes to live within Effie Creel, he hides himself in Effie And I can't draw a line and say, over here's Effie and over here's Jesus. He's in the all of her. The all in the all of her. And the way I feel about Effie is the way I feel about Jesus. See, right? Yeah. How can I say I love Jesus, whom I've not seen, if I don't love you in who he in whom he lives? So Effie is not Jesus. Jesus is not Effie. But she's one with Jesus. See, that's the glory of it. It's like water in the watermelon. Watermelon in the water. How do you separate? You don't. You just eat the whole thing. And so the Holy Spirit indwells us and weds us to Jesus, so that Jesus, the resurrected Lord, the redeemed humanity, weds the all of himself to the all of us. Mind of mind, spirit of spirit, bone of bone, flesh of flesh. The all in the all of us. And begins to manifest within us, through us, and as us. All three. From within us, through us, and as us. And you can never give Jesus to anyone without him giving you. And that's the glory of it, you see. Because Jesus loves us in such a way that he allows us to be a unique expression of his kingdom. So in that sense, within yourself, you are a new kingdom. You're in a kingdom that is peculiarly your own. It's like cells in the body. The cells are cells within themselves, and yet they find fulfillment in relationship to every other cell. Like a member of the body. I mean, that index finger is not my big toe. It's silly for that. Well, I just don't matter. I'll be any old thing. No, it's not any old thing. It's an index finger. Only one I've got on the right hand. It's peculiar. Looks funny. You know, all the way, it's an index finger. But it finds relationship to every other finger on that hand. Without these other fingers, what could that index finger be? God has so made every member that it's individual. And this is why I don't believe, one reason I don't believe in reincarnation. I believe in individual salvation. And once you come into union with Jesus, you don't have to be born again. And again, and again. Now, once you come into Jesus, you, as the psychologist would say, you come into true individuation. That's a good psychological term. We come into true individuation in union with Jesus, so that a work of the Holy Spirit is to give us the power to really be ourselves. To really be you. We don't become ourselves by trying to be, oh, let me be me. I'm going to be me. I don't care what you say, midlife crisis or otherwise. We don't have to go through all that mess. We do it. You know, we think we have to. But if we give ourselves to Jesus, we can be ourselves in union with Jesus without pride. Just by living in that beautiful union and responding to him, he will see to it that his presence within you does not overshadow you or possess you in such a way that your own integrity is denied. That's why in the New Testament, you never find such phrases as the Holy Spirit possessing you. You're demon-possessed. He'll possess you. We'll possess one another. But Jesus does not possess us. He indwells us and sets us free to be ourselves. And he's not ashamed for you to be you. You know, this is awfully threatening. I'm about to get over it. But it was threatening to me when I began to discover that Joyce was just going to be herself. Now you imagine being Joyce's father. You know, and you know, with a few inhibitions and all of that, and a real desire to make a good reputation, and to be a Holy Ghost evangelist, and here comes those purple pants. He's in the doorway now. But I tell you, something within you has to say, gulp. But isn't it wonderful to have that kind of love that rejoices and celebrates individuality? And that's true about the Lord with us. He's not ashamed of you. He doesn't repent because he's made you you. He celebrates it. And a part of our ministry to one another is a ministry of the love of celebrating who we are in Jesus. When you are free to celebrate yourself as an expression, a unique expression of God's creative genius. And you can do this any hour of the day or night. You can just be quiet or look in the mirror if you want to and say, I am a unique expression of God's creative genius. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, how can you be so down when you know that? I am a unique expression of God's creative genius. It is he who hath made us and not we ourselves. The sheep of his pasture. And he's not apologizing for you. He never said to me, son, I'm sorry I made that person and you're going to have to put up with him. No, I want you to know the joy that I have in presenting our little granddaughter, especially Mary Catherine, the middle one. We're at Aqueduct, our conference center. Sometimes Ann brings them over. And invariably, they come to me, Mary Catherine in particular, and says, Granddaddy, present me. So I hold them up before the group and say, ladies and gentlemen, it's my happy privilege. You know, but you know, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's presenting us to one another. You see, may I present you. May I present you. And to know that by the Holy Spirit, you're being presented to the universe. Now that's a part of ministry, is to know that kind of concept. Now, living in that freedom, you begin to discover that the transmitting power of the Holy Spirit is a continuous process. We sometimes think of ministry just when we are in a prayer group or some other religious setting. But I want you to know, the Holy Spirit is not a religious spirit. He's the Spirit of life. You know, he just is. And he wants you to know that he flows like rivers of living water. And this is a continuous flow. Rivers don't run dry. Not if their source is great enough. And it's wonderful. Rivers don't get tired of running. Boy, they just run. And it's wonderful to know that the Holy Spirit is transmitting life through us in terms of our own individuation. So give one another that kind of freedom. If you can't quite take a person, it's all right. I must tell you, it's all right. It just means you've got to grow some. And why shouldn't you have to grow in order to take me? I mean, last night, three or four people got up and walked out. They were sitting in the back. I thank God for that. You know, and my first impulse was, Lord, I'm sorry they can't take me. And then I heard the thought, well, son, a lot of people got to grow a whole lot before they can take you. See, you may not be great enough to take me yet. And I may not be great enough to take you yet. And it's, so we don't just get out under guilt and say, oh, pray for me, I've got a problem loving that person. You old proud thing, you. What makes you think you wouldn't have a problem? So we go before the Lord. Lord Jesus, I'm having a little difficulty, one of your special children. Now, I need to grow some. I need to learn to move with you in such a way that you can work it out so that I can rightly appreciate this person and flow in the Spirit with that person. And we began to go before the Lord and hold one another in the light of God's love. And before you know what's happening, you're falling in love. I've had this happen over and over again. There are just some personality types that I don't accommodate right offhand. And, you know, you, as a gregarious and outgoing as I am, you'd think I'd respond almost immediately to that kind of person. You know the kind of person that appeals to me most? It are eggheads. I just really go for the Greg Harrisons and Martin Kelsey's and all these beautiful eggheads, especially if there's a little poetry thrown in. You know, that poetic stuff with a sharp, clear, concise mind. Boy, that turns me on. It's amazing, isn't it? And I find somebody like me, and I think, Lord, how long? So ministering in the power of the Spirit is learning to know these things. And you stay open and begin to watch and move with Jesus. And you discover that all things are yours, all people are yours. And you begin to open up and minister and be ministered to. Now, oh my, that was just introduction. But in this beautiful flow of life, transmitting the power of Jesus one to another, and that's what ministry is all about, I find that usually we're doing one of three or four things. That we are either removing blocks or helping to remove blocks so the water can flow. And that's a part of our ministry, one to another, is removing blocks. And those blocks are various kinds. Of course, we all know that the number one big block is sin. Sin being interpreted to mean a willful violation of the light of God, or law of God. Where there's no law, there's no sin. And where there is no freedom to make a decision, there's no sin. You need to make people sinful who don't have knowledge about law or light. Tragic, yes. But if a little child picked up a gun and shot me, they couldn't try him for murder. I'd be just as dead as a doornail. But no murder involved. That baby didn't know. No sin there. Tragedy, no sin. And there's that. Sin is willful violation of the law of God. Now, there's one answer to sin, and I want to say it real loud or real plainly, because for a number of years I was a little bit ashamed of this. I'm so glad to be able to tell you there's one answer to sin. That's the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. What can take away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me what is known. No other font I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, that's not a shibboleth. That's a glorious, mystical, powerful expression of the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus spilled his blood on this planet. He didn't take his blood into glory with him. His resurrected body doesn't need blood. It's filled with light. He spilled his blood on this planet. I want to go on record as being one of those who believe that that is the reason this world hadn't blown up. It's my reason to believe that it won't blow up. You know, really. That Jesus has spilled his blood in this planet. And the Holy Spirit has access to the mystical presence of the cleansing power of precious blood. I don't know how to state that logically or theologically. I can state it experientially. I know that the deep crevices of our own being, those areas of life where we've been ashamed, where we know we've violated and done wrong, I know we can come before Jesus and say, Lord, no, I don't want just to be forgiven. I want that. I want to be cleansed. And he said, if I'm faithful to confess, he's faithful to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. So forgiveness is not just, cleansing. Cleansing is different, more than forgiveness. Forgiveness is treating you as if you never did it. And cleansing is making you as if you never did it. A little girl came to see me one day, and she was about to be married. And she said, Tommy, I just can't go through with it. And I said, why? Don't you love the boy? With all my heart, she said. Doesn't he love you? With all his heart, she said. Aren't you happy about having him for your husband? Yes, I am. He's everything I could ever want. But she said, he's virgin, and he thinks I am. And I'm not, and I've got to tell him. And I know he'll not want to marry me when he finds out I'm not a virgin. I said, darling, tell me about it. So she went ahead and confessed. And I said, are you truly sorry for your sins? She said, over and over, I'm sorry. I wish I could go back and relive it, and so I'd never do it again. I wish I had never done it. And I said, darling, do you know you're forgiven before God? She said, indeed, I do know I'm forgiven. But nevertheless, I still have the memory. And I've got to be honest with my husband. I said, all right, would you like to be put in that state of purity? Just as pure as you were before you ever committed sin. She said, I wish, and I told you that's what I wish, that I could get to. Well, I said, you're just about to get there right now. And I told her about the cleansing power, the blood of Jesus. And she said, you mean Jesus can wash over me and make me as white as snow and as pure as I was before I sinned? I said, even purer. And make you stronger. Will you help me? I said, indeed, I'll do it for you in him. Get on your knees. You think I'm not a priest, can speak absolution. Glory to God. Man, it's wonderful. We can minister absolution to one another. Boy, I mean, I'd have met this, but you think the Lord's going to let my Catholic brothers and sisters have a blessing I can't have? I need it as much as you do. I need to be absolved. Never will forget, I was down in Bolivia with Father Francis, and we were holding a priest retreat out in Cochabamba, way out from Cochabamba. And the altitude, you know, is just terrific. And I was being bothered by it a little bit. I found out later. I didn't know what it was that night. But I woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning. My breath was being cut off. I thought I was dying. I could hardly talk, just in a whisper. And I woke Father Francis. We were sleeping in the same room. And I woke him. And I said, Father Francis, I'm dying. He raised right up, sat on the bed. He said, Tommy, you can't do that. You know. He said, it'll tear up the retreat. Well, I said, Father Francis, since I am going, I want you to give me an absolution. So I confessed some things that I didn't want to get to heaven with. And boy, he gave me absolution. I don't know whether they held up in Rome or not, but... But he sure, he let me act like a Catholic that night. And you know, I just rested in the Lord. And I began to hear a whisper, hold on till day breaks and you'll be all right. And I lay real still till I saw the dawn breaking. And boy, I knew it. And I found out later, not only was it the altitude, but I had gone in that territory that was under a spirit of death, preaching resurrection. And you know, when you go in the devil's territory, he's going to challenge every step you take. You better be prepared. You know? And so I found out the next day that's what that was all about. But nonetheless, I learned from that the glorious reality of being washed as white as snow. No blocks. All right. But there are these other blocks, and I'll just mention a few in fact. They're the blocks of those impressions and hurts and unfulfilled desires that leave your soul crying out. Not sin on your part, but stored there in the memory banks that affect your conduct and behavior. Jesus knows about those. And all you have to do is bring them to the light. We whisper sometimes about healing of the memories, interior healing. But really what we're doing is walking in the past, in the light of the present. And you bring darkness to light. Darkness is dispelled, that's all. So if you have any memory that is hurting you, stop running from it. Just go back to that memory and bring it up to the light of the presence of Jesus. And see Jesus in that. And that memory will become blessed. You know, some people say you ought to forget. No, God doesn't want you to forget. He wants your memories to be blessed. The Holy Spirit's given us good memories. And he'll quit. So we get those blocks discerned and get them removed. Blocks of sin, but blocks of hurts, blocks of unfulfilled desire, blocks of behavior patterns that grew out of a defensive mechanism. Many of us do that. We develop little patterns of responding to people that are based on a defensive mechanism. It doesn't mean you're a sinner. But it does mean if you learn to minister, you're going to have to deal with that. So hold yourself in the light of God's love. And Lord, show me any kind of defensive patterns of behavior that I need to have removed in order to be a better transmitter of your grace. So that there's a whole level of removing blocks in one another and in ourselves. Now, another area, however, of ministry is not just to remove blocks, but is to quicken within the person potential, unfulfilled potential. Now, all of us are running around as, I mean, just with gobs of unfulfilled potential. There are areas and depths within you that you've never dreamed. It's just amazing. And so part of our ministry to one another is to discern this in each other and to call it forth. There was a little girl that kneeling here at the altar this morning. The minute I laid hands on her, I realized she was under the anointing power of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord has great plans for her life. And I was just sure she knew what they were. And I whispered and said, darling, has the Lord told you what he really has planned for you? She said, no, I don't know yet.